Maybe two. Now it's two. Maybe three.
Thank you.
Started with maybe one, now it's maybe two.
Thank you for this host question. In respect of the explanation, so I'm asking again, which one is more essential in respect of what you've explained? Which one is more essential? Is it the one that at a point, you know, one has to raise up his hand?
Excuse me?
I said, which one is more essential? Because they are variegated.
Essential or beneficial?
Beneficial. Okay. Said, beneficial. Let me say beneficial. Yes. Which one is more beneficial?
It's like asking a question about the Bhagavatam, which part of the Bhagavatam is more beneficial. It's like asking, Swamiji, which part of the Gulab Jamun is more sweet? Is the top of the Gulab Jamun more sweet? Or the bottom? Or is it the other side? Because it's round. So it's all sides are sweet. Inside it's sweet. Outside it's sweet. So the Bhagavatam is madhur, 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 madhur. It's sweet if you hear. It's sweet if you speak. It's sweet if you remember. It's sweet if you dream about. It's always sweet. And equally beneficial because it's absolute tattva. It's alaukik tattva. So absolute means absolute. So as the Gulab Jamun is absolutely sweet on all sides, in all directions, from the up, if you go like this and come down on the Gulab Jamun, it's sweet. If you throw it up in the air and catch it, it's sweet. If you put it like this, it's sweet. You put it on your hand, roll it down your arm. You know, if you're really tricky, you know, some guys are tricky, you know. If you go like, you throw the Gulab Jamun like this, and you go, tap, and then it goes up. But in line of what I just said, the most beneficial thing is to speak the Bhagavatam, because that's what the Bhagavatam is saying.
Yeah, what I was saying, Maharaj.
The speaker gets the most benefit. So you sit by yourself, you open a book, and you read out loud, and that's what happens all the time. And the format of Harikatha here, when it's not an official class at Radhakund, one Babaji sits at Janava's Baitak or somewhere, anywhere, and five or six devotees sit around him, and he speaks Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Chandramita, usually Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, or Bhagavatam, and everyone listens. This is what we see here. So the one who gets the answer, what is most beneficial? It's most beneficial to speak the Bhagavatam out loud.
Yeah, I was the beneficial in the sense is that which one is more beneficial to the speaker?
That's the one.
Yeah.
The one is, if you're speaking, you're getting the most benefit. So be a Bhagavad Pracharak, speak the Bhagavatam. Or, as I said, sadhus, like I know one sadhu, he sits at Manasapavangat every afternoon, one bhava. And he opens his shastras, and he has one stick there for the monkeys, because they don't like to listen much. So like a make nonsense. So he reads out loud. There's nobody there. I mean, at least nobody visible in my eyes except him. So he's getting benefit, and anyone is hearing him, and he feels it. Maybe, you know, that's the most beneficial. So he's reading the shastra out loud. We come from the West where everybody's always hush, 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 quiet, don't make noise. You're disturbing me. But generally, shastras in India, traditionally, even if one is alone, he reads out loud. Because we only know the shastra in our native languages of English or whatever. But the shastras themselves are originally written in Sanskrit, Devanagari. And Sanskrit, I'm sorry, I'm a fool and stupid, but what little bit I've seen and read of Sanskrit is extremely beautiful. And it's extremely, there's bhava inside there. Not only just meaning, when we get the Bhagavatam in English, there's only meaning. There's no ras. There's no bhav. There's many things built into it, integral, you know, inside, integral, inherent. In the language of Sanskrit, it's why we say rasalankar. There's ras, there's bhav, there's hiti. Everything in this Sanskrit literature, so many things are mixed in there. And then when all we take it out of English, it's like having a song. You take out the music and just have the song sheet. You know, you imagine, you read the song. I love you, Mary, I really do. I love you, Mary, you're so true. But it's just, you're just reading words on a piece of paper. I love you, Mary, I really do. I love you, Mary, it's really true. You know, it's like some silly song. But when the music is there, then the person is singing, and it touches the heart. If you send it, oh, Mary, I wrote you a song, read it. Huh? What else? But if you sing it, then the music, then there's... So that's just a mundane example. So the Sanskrit is music. The Sanskrit, it's musical. That's what the Gita Govinda is, one of the greatest Sanskrit works ever written, because it's music. It's raga. It's, of course, it's philosophy. It's philosophy. It's siddhanta. It's ras. It's bhav. It's prem. It's lila. There's so many things there in Gita Govinda. But finally, it's the most exquisite music. And each it's not shlokas, it's ragas. It says Malahara Raga, and this Dhanashi, all different ragas, exactly different ragas, which match Radharani's in Man. So now this raga, these ragas and these Sanskrit verses are matching the mood. Radharani's in a particular bhava, it's called Man. She's unfavorable, contrary to Krishna. Now the Sanskrit shloka to describe that is in that bhava of Man, and it's in that rag. It's amazing. It's so deep. I mean, I know, like, technically some of the things, but I don't know Sanskrit. So this is the beauty and the amazing depth of Sanskrit that no other language has in the entire world. And that's the shastras that we're getting in, you know, in English or Hindi or whatever. It's like Hindi, even Hindi has many of the elements that I'm talking about in it. And English has zip, zero. English is one word, love. I love you. I love my dog. I love tennis. I love politics. I love, you know, everything. But in Hindi and Sanskrit, there's a thousand words for love. If you had a choice of speaking Hindi or English, what would you choose? Hindi. It's a real language. And I don't know, you're from Africa or whatever. You must have your own rich regional languages, and just to communicate, for us to communicate, yep, we ought to learn English or whatever. But your language itself is probably 10,000 times more beautiful than English also. It's not hard to be better than English, I'll tell you that. It's really a very flat language, isn't it?
English.
English is a very flat language.
Flat means
no air in your tire. It doesn't go anywhere, you know. No offense, I mean.